All right, good afternoon, men. You're probably wondering why in the world would Ty have us pray with our eyes open? And I'd like to say that there's a great biblical teaching that I'm going to expound on, but that's not the case. I just figured we'd go ahead and we'll get uncomfortable right from the get-go. So thanks for joining me and being uncomfortable. Just like the other men that have stood here before you guys, I too am honored, I'm humbled to be able to speak with you today. I didn't say speak to you because my heart today is to speak with you. When I got talking about this talk, I'm thinking, a man that loves his wife, I'm going to need this just as much as any other man that's in this room today. I've written three separate talks as I prepared for this. Three. And then when I finally got the one I thought was nailed, sure enough, it didn't save. So I said, all right, this is a sign from God. Start over. Seek me harder. I said, okay. So what I'm going to say today is right here on my shirt. It's not about me, but it's about Him. He must increase so that I may decrease. I initially thought I would be giving my testimony when I was asked to speak, and then I found out they wanted me to teach. I immediately said yes because in my heart I knew that I was supposed to do this, but in my mind I was saying no. And then when I found out I was going to be talking about a man, the heart of a man that loves his wife, my mind went from saying no to screaming no. I'm like, are you kidding me? I've only been married 9 years, 2 months, 10 days, 2 hours, and 38 seconds, but who's counting, right? Guys, you need to understand, it is only by the grace of God, and her name is Tika, that I can stand up and give you this talk today. When I read in God's Word, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. See, I can identify with this, because if there is such thing as a favor scale, the needle is moving to the right. My wife would agree that things are good, but don't misinterpret that as being perfect. We are far from perfect. We both have a long way to go. While I prayed about what to speak with and speak on, I knew that he was talking to me first. This is difficult because we know that guys in here are all over the map. There's guys in here that have stable marriages. There's some guys in here that are young in their marriage. Some that are mature. Some that are broken. There's some in massive need of restoration. And I asked, how in the world am I going to teach these guys? But then I realized there's guys in this room that have been married longer than I've been alive. Last week, Virgil told us at our table that he's been married 40 years. And at this point, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge all those men. I'm just going to say 20 years for time's sake. That's been married 20 years or greater, if you could just stand up. Wow. Woo! All right, thank you, man. Thank you. I'm not acknowledging those that have been married less than 20, but just for time's sake. Guys, look around this room. Did you see how many people in this room stood up? This is exactly why I was thinking to myself, what am I going to teach these guys? I need to be sitting under their teaching. Then to add insult to injury, I soon found out that I'd be following Bob Gray, who's my poppy, and I hold in very high regard because he sets the bar, and boy, did he set it last week, speaking on rejection. Speaking of setting the bar, I also realized that I would not only be following him, but I'd be doing the second part of the talk of a heart that loves his wife, which meant I would be closing for Bob Gray. The only thing I can compare that to is being a rookie pitcher standing on the mound and looking at the great Bambino stepping up to the plate. My mind began thinking, come on, are you serious? But then the Spirit grabbed a hold of me, and he did it from the inside out. I'm guessing that we've all heard at some point in our lives that we shouldn't compare ourselves to others. God created us unique, and we're supposed to be who we are in God, and let others be who they are in God. Actually, Poppy did a great job setting this up for me because he referenced 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of a number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, by they measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. God wants us to use the Bible as our standard of measure, guys. Because just like it said in 2 Corinthians, we are not wise, which is a nice way of saying we are fools. And this wasn't the first time I've been a fool. I say all this because there might be somebody in here today that's already turned off. They're not listening because they're thinking, well, he's got a good relationship with his wife. He has no idea what I'm going through. You might be right. You might be wrong. But our God knows, and that's why I believe he's given me this message today. So the Holy Spirit continued to press upon me that there was more than just being a fool about this, Ty. I want to teach you something. He reminded me of a teaching I just recently heard, but I didn't receive it. This is where I want to insert the warning, guys. I wish I would have been wearing my cup when I was reminded of this. That reminder was a talk Francis Chan gave in January at the Passion Conference I attended. I just recently used this teaching in my guys group, and I heard it again, and I still didn't receive it. So my prayer today is that you guys just don't hear this, but you receive this. You might be wondering how comparing ourselves to others has to do with a heart that loves our wives. But if you just give it a minute, I'm sure you'll see. In the New American Standard Bible, it reads in 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, but the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you hear that, guys? Allow the Spirit to let you receive this. We, you and me, have the same faith as Peter. Yes, the same faith as the Apostle Peter. Peter's faith wasn't the righteousness of Christ plus the righteousness of himself, equaling more righteousness than we've received as a result of Christ bearing that on the cross. We have the same faith. We are on equal ground. Do you believe that? Because if you don't, it's right here in the Word. God is telling us, believe this. Jesus died on that cross for Peter, just as he died for you, and he died for me. And that's so we can all share in his righteousness. See, this is what the Lord showed me. This is exactly what I was doing with Bob Gray when I was comparing myself to him. I was viewing him like most of us do when we compare ourselves to apostles, great speakers, anyone that we think we would like to be like. Bob Gray doesn't have the righteousness of Christ, plus the righteousness of Bob Gray, and he'll be the first one to say amen to that. Men, we have to believe that we have the same faith and righteousness. Otherwise, we won't accept and own the leadership in our marriage and our families. Francis also said, we are some kind of less loved child. We forget that we have the personal relationship with Jesus, then we have the same power that rose from the grave that lives in us. Men, we have to start believing this if we're going to love our wives like Christ intends for us to. Francis also reminded us in his talk that we need to be in God's Word for ourselves. Boy, was I convicted of this. Sure, I'll prepare for a teaching. Sure, I'll do my devotions. But am I in the Word for me, for my growth, for my family? He used Isaiah 66:2 to support this thought. For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and a contrite of a spirit and who trembles at my word. Yeah. Guys, we need to be trembling at his word. When we read his word, are we trembling and revering the life-breathing word of the Creator? If it still hasn't sunk in, I've got one last scripture, James 5:17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Did you hear that? Are you receiving that? Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He didn't have a special nature that was better than ours, and it was his prayers that stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Are we believing our prayers could stop the rain for 3.5 years? Better yet, are we believing that our prayers can heal a broken marriage? Are we believing that our God is so big he could do anything? Guys, again, if we're going to have a heart that loves our wife, then we need to have a heart that believes in our God, trusts in our God, has faith in our God, and that loves our God. This is why I've taken the time to unpack for us that we see if we're really struggling with who we are in Christ first before we can love our wives. Now that we've laid the foundation, we can move on with putting the action to what Poppy talked about last week. Butcher, could you come up here for a second? Take a minute, guys. Just look at this. Let it sink in. For those that are listening on audio, we just turned around a big canvas with a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ painted in white, hanging on a cross with blood, red splotches everywhere. This is it, men. Ephesians 5:25. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her. Let that sink in. Just as Christ came to die for us on the cross to put action on how we love the church, us, this is the same way we need to love our wives. You might be thinking, we have to die? And I'm going to say yes. We need to die to self so that Christ can lead us in the efforts to love our wives and our families. We need to die to self-reliance. We can't do it all. And I think most of us have tried it, and we find out it only lasts for a short while, if that even is really working. It's usually during this time that we're building up and creating a bomb that is going to explode. Guys, statistics show that when a couple in a marital trouble, it's usually traced back to 3 years previous before they start even seeking counsel. Look again, guys. We see Jesus as a perfect example in obedience. Look at his life when he walked on this planet and he see how he obeyed his Father and led. He led by serving. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Men, we have to serve our wives in order to love them. Sure, I can tell you we need to know our wife's five love languages, do a study such as love and respect. I can tell you to read 1 Corinthians 10:13, which is a love chapter, and go ahead and substitute your name in for every place that it says love. But before you do that, I suggest you put your cup on again. These are all great things, but today I still take it back to knowing who are we in Christ. This is going to help produce the fruit. Whether we've been the spiritual leader of the household or not, whether we've heard this before or not, now is the time to move past just hearing it and take ownership and receive it. Again, I don't know your specific situation, but I'll remind you that our God does, and I know how much He cares. He cares so much that He gave up His only one begotten Son. I'm sure that every man in this room that has a child can only imagine what it would take to give up that child. This is the same self-sacrificial heart that we need to have to love our wives. The heart that would give his life for her. Would we die for our wives, men? Take a second and think about what it means to love our wives. What does it look like in your relationship? What type of actions do our wives receive as actions of love? Is it to simply play a game with the kids so she can shower without them bugging her? Or stay home while the kids are napping so she can go tanning? Watch the kids so she can go play tennis, kickboxing, shopping? You fill in the blank. Go and play volleyball with her when your heart wants to be at home revising a talk for a huddle so you're not up till 2 a.m. Hide a card in her purse so she finds it randomly. Run to the store and buy her tampons. All right, we might be crossing the line there. But seriously, guys, how are we going to show this love? I just listed a few ways to put love into action while remembering that not every wife is wired the same. So I want to concentrate on one action that is universal and key for each one of us, and that's dating. I'm pretty sure that every man in here dated his wife before they got married. And for some of these older guys in here, I'm sure they called it courting. But regardless of what it is and what we called it, we know that we did extravagant things to show our wives how much we cared for them. Am I right? We need to continue this mindset into our marriage. It's the same as the relationship that we talked about with the Lord at the beginning of this talk. If we don't spend time with Him in His Word, then how are we going to know Him? It's the same thing as about spending time with our wives. If we don't spend time with our wives, then how are we going to know her? Because I guarantee you that today she is not the same woman as she was when you were dating her. We have to do everything we can to avoid the fadeaway formula. Time plus familiarity plus distractions plus duties equals diminished interest. The consistent thing that I've found to combat this is dating. I know as men, when we hear our wives say date night, we typically think we're going to get all dressed out and go spend a bunch of money on a bunch of food that we didn't eat in the first place. I think that's why we don't suggest the date thing so much. In this book that we're reading, I knew I'd finally get a reference in here, they talk about just getting a babysitter and going across the street to McDonald's for an hour or two over a coffee. Well, I don't know about you, but my wife and I don't drink coffee, and we sure wouldn't pick McDonald's. This is where I want to take us today. I want to give you a new perspective, something that hopefully you can adopt into your date life. We see a date as any intentional time set aside from the craziness of life to listen and love each other. God has given me an amazing woman. Let me add something right here for those of you that think you don't have an amazing woman, or you don't think that you are married to the one. There's an easy answer to this question. If you are married, then she is the one. Could we have gone outside of God's will when we married someone because we decided who it should be? Did we get married for the wrong reasons initially? Sure, that's a possibility. Just like I had lunch with a guy recently, and he poured his heart out to me in regard to the decisions that he made before involving Christ into his marriage, into his family, into his business. Now granted, he's on the upswing and doing great, and doing what God wants him to do, to restore those things. But he also knows that he can't make his wife love him, and he can't force people into his business. He has intentionally placed these things in God's hands, and continues to pray, just like Elijah. I know that our God is a God of love and restoration, and he wants us to see us stay married, and for us to put our marriages in his hands. I believe that this is one of his greatest desires. For us as couples, when we are getting married, to understand that this vow that we're making is a promise to him first and to each other second. Back to dating. My wife and I don't go out on the town all the time. It costs too much money and we're too practical for that. Our date nights are spent in the bedroom. All right? I wasn't going to go there and I still won't. And yes, that happens. But let me tell you, the majority of the time is spent talking. We lie in our bed for hours talking and praying. We'll start at 11 p.m. and she'll finally cut me off at 2 a.m. because she has to get up early for work. You might be thinking, what do we talk about for hours? Life. Most likely, each one of us, if not both of us, have a job, which means we spend at least 8 hours away from them. Yes, this means we need to listen. Listen is an action of love. Notice that I said listening and not hearing. Listening implies that you take mental notes. Hearing is meaning the old Charlie Brown wah-wah-wah thing going off in our head. So I pray that you're listening right now and just not hearing. Working better at being a better listener, it's even harder than we think. We have to work at it. And I can promise you that as we spend more time working at it and listening, she's going to spend more time listening to us talk about hunting and fishing and sports, the guy stuff that we talk about. It's a two-way street, guys. We have to put the time and the effort in. This brings me to what I've come to see as the historical truth in marriages. The guy typically stays up later than his wife. The guy that stays up gives the excuse that, well, my wife went to bed earlier, so I didn't pray for her. And this is where we have to be intentional and make it a priority. Go to bed with your wife, pray with her, and then if you have to, get back up. But if you're one of the millions of guys that get back up and go surf the net, or go watch those movies that we shouldn't be watching, that dishonors God, that dishonors his daughter, which is our wife, then stay in that bed. Don't get out of that bed. And if you want to do the first action of loving your wife, go home and cancel your internet. Go home and cancel your movie stations. I'll deal with your wives and I'll tell them that that's exactly what they need to do. Radical times call for radical measures. I know that I've been married. I know that I've been married for less than 10 years and I don't claim to be an expert. I just claim to be a guy that is in love with my Lord, and I'm blessed to have a relationship with him because I know he is the expert. I know that I am going to find healing and answers through him. I also know he uses men that are right here in this room to intervene on our behalf. Take a look around this room, men. Did you see all those men that stood up that have been married for 20 plus years? These are the guys that we need to be looking up to. And this is where I want to put a challenge out to the young guys and these older guys. Us young guys, we need to be asking these guys to take us up under their wing, for them to be our marriage counselors, for them to show us what we need to do. And for these older guys, you need to be reaching down to us young guys so that we can avoid the pitfalls that maybe that you did. And you don't want to see that repeated. You'll be blessed in this process. Remember the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, here's a perfect way to put that into practice. You are in this nation, and use this marriage as your launching platform for your disciple-making. The enemy is attacking very hard at the core of marriages. Just like we heard from Poppy last week, the divorce rate is up 50 to 68%. Just yesterday, I had a brother in Christ email me back after I sent a note to encourage him, because what he's going through is the toughest thing that he has ever gone through in his marriage, let alone his life. Listen to this response. Take heed. Honor your commitments, your relationship, and your wife. Please refocus, rekindle, and restore your relationships at every level. Please, if the only good thing that comes from this situation is saving someone else's marriage, then so be it. That is a guy that's going through the storm, and he has an army of men surrounding him, men that are in this room. And what I'm reminded of most is the first thing that he mentions in his email, that he is leaning into the Father's arms for comfort. My prayer is that these last two examples that I want to leave with you, in addition to this ultimate example of Christ that was set before us on this cross, will also help you find that same comfort and remind you of what it looks like to love your wife. The first is, do we have any Olympic fans in here? That's it? Do you remember the guy that lost his gold medal because the coach told him to take the wrong lane? Did you guys hear about that? Man, we are the coach in our marriage. And if we're not listening to God's leading, then we might be directing our wives into the wrong lane. And it could be more costly than a gold medal around our neck. The second example is not an easy one because it involves humbling ourselves before our wives and before our Lord. Remember at the start of the talk when I said that God revealed to me that He had something different in store for this talk? Well, this is a big adjustment. Honey, if you can hear me, will you come on in? There she is. See? See, my wife said go ahead, sit down. My wife said that, honey, I'm going to be off on Wednesday afternoon if you need anything. Yeah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because if she knew what she was getting herself into, she surely would have not probably volunteered for this. But Lord, I just pray right now, you just be with me, Mrs. Smith. God, I know that as you were working me over and you were asking, how can I help these guys to leave with something tangible, something practical? Like what our Lord and Savior's done here. Well, another example He set for us is, if you remember the night there after the Passover meal, where He girded Himself with His towel, right? And He went down and washed His disciples' feet. This is the same example that I want to show before you men. This isn't a show for you men. This is what the Lord said I needed to do. Not in the privacy of my own home, which is honoring God, but in front of 200 plus men, humbling myself before you and before our God. I don't know what the notes say now, but... See, God, just pray that you receive this right now as a symbol, as an act for my love for you. The Lord knows that He put you in my life for a reason, and that was to keep me straight. You are truly a hero of mine. Without you, I have no idea where I would be. You have been so much in my life. You have been a stability factor. When I've been lost, I've been hurt. I thank you for being willing to let me lead, for you understanding your role as a wife to be submissive, and when I lead and when I fail, that you let me fail. And as much as it hurts sometimes, you still let me lead. So I thank you for that. And as God is my witness and as these men, I will do what I can to be the best husband I can. And this for you is an act of my love for you. So please take this as a humble request that I will continue to be your husband and your lover and the father of your children till the end of the day. Amen. I love you so much. Gentlemen, I understand that you're clapping because of what God's done in a marriage, and you can see as an example. And I know that there's men in here that are hurting, that have probably been divorced and are still hurting and still trying to figure out, God, what is it? What is that plan that you have for my life? But I just pray, guys, that you did not just hear this, that you're listening and that you accept this and you receive this. So God bless your table discussions. Thank you.